Welcome to Tea Talks Podcast. Produced by Tomorrow London, Tea Talks is a podcast created to diversify the way that we think and talk about leading creative minds. A perfect blend of business and design, this 360-degree approach offers raw, unfiltered conversations with brand founders and directors on the rigorous duality that goes into building the fashion brands of tomorrow. My name is Valeria Garnica, and I am joined with my co-host Stavros Karelis on this episode, where we interview Johanna Parv, Estonian-born and London-based designer and founder of the Johanna Parv label.
So,
so funny.
I love actually that we're starting with a laugh because in our today's episode is one of the people that I really love and respect and admire a lot, Johanna Parv. So welcome, Johanna.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. So welcome. Actually, I will be very honest because right before we started the recording of this, you know, you just shared an information that I never knew about you. So tell me about, you know, your upbringing and where you're coming from, of course, you know, like, but then also you shared a bit of information that when you were young, you were playing as an actress in a show, right? In TV?
Oh, yes. I mean, before I started my designer career, then I studied acting, and I happened to be in an Estonian TV show, which was like Estonian version of Skins. So yeah, I guess like with time I've been like moving on so much that like I actually can't really remember being a actress anymore. But I used to be a teenage star in Estonia. Yeah, that was like how I was like, that's how I left Estonia. And I've arrived in East London, and I was like, wow. Now it's a totally new life. Wow. I was sitting on my accommodation room on this kind of like a plastic covered mattress thinking, oh, so if I would be in Estonia, I would be a star. But here, who am I now? And I was 19 and I was like, okay, you have to work hard because you really need to build new life in a totally new city, totally new career, like not totally new life. So yeah, here I am now. So
how did that switch happen? You know, you went from having, you know, this career in Estonia that you were developing, always in the arts, right? But, you know, completely different sector. And then you came to London. What age did you arrive in London?
I was 19. So I was after graduating my high school. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I guess like I was always like really active, doing like acting, sports. I was like doing, I was a mid distance runner for like some time, third in the Baltic States at one point. So I was competing quite hard, and then I was doing acting and I was singing, I was doing music. I was really like interested in like being trained in different ways, like in my mind, like as a, like what, the way you speak, the way you kind of your body, you understand your body as a human. And I guess now like, when I, the idea, like why I wanted to become a designer and study in like the best school of the world was really kind of somehow like a way for me to put all this, the training that I had into one kind of focus and have a focus of being someone who can direct how things are rather than being told what to do. Because if you are like in sports, you are the one who like, it's really much like, yeah, the discipline, like I really was like building a discipline through different kind of like sports, art, acting. And then in design, it's kind of felt like totally new and different, but it's actually really related, if that makes sense. Yeah, like somehow. And then, yeah, I guess now my brand as well is so much related to all these parts of like being, yeah, this like kind of active woman. And it's very much about me, and it's all like in this big pot together. So I think it's, I don't know, did I answer to the question even?
You did. I think for sure you did. But so you moved in London to start immediately at CSM, right? So
yes.
Sandra Sir Martin's.
Yes. Yes, I did foundation.
Yeah.
But I guess because most people do foundation when you come abroad, especially if you come from abroad, but it just helps you to kind of ease into the practice. But I guess like because... I did summer course before as well, where I my English was really, really bad. And it really helped me to kind of get into university because I practiced my English in that foundation year. But also the summer course and the foundation kind of helped me to kind of prove myself to the tutors, and they really, since they kind of met me, they knew that, like, they kind of started helping me to get on to the next stage. So, I mean, now I realize, obviously, it's a big business. The university is a big business, so people will, like, see who they want, like, to kind of be invested. Like, they would take you part of the business, so, you know, they keep you in that business as long as possible. Oh, hey, come to BA, come to MA, come to this. And then you're like, wow, oh my God, I'm given so many opportunities. And I've been like, I feel like it was like really long training period for me before I started my business. But it's all been relevant. But maybe if I could think, like, maybe this time of training, does it need to be that long? Does it need to, does it need to be, have like that amount of time and money that like students put into before they can start their own business? Because I feel like a lot of people already have, there's a lot of businesses and people and designers that start business before they actually, they never even studied. But I think it was good.
Can I ask, what was it that you studied?
So I studied fashion design, women's wear in foundation and BA and MA at Centre St. Martin's. And I also, that's, I always did women's wear.
And you graduated on in 2020, right?
Yeah. 2020, I graduated my master's the year of COVID. So while the, it was the COVID was kicking in, the first lockdown was 2 weeks before, it was while my graduation exhibition. So I remember that a lot of people already didn't come to this, but it didn't really affect my studies, which was really lucky. But a lot of my job interviews, because I had the idea of I'm going to do the proper way, I'm going to go to big houses, work as a designer. But somehow, it's just all my interviews were cancelled. And I was like, okay, so what should I do with my time? And then I started really developing through my brand. And that's how I met Stavros as well.
We met through COVID.
Yeah, it was, because actually there was still opportunities. Like I did, I took part of International Talent Support, which was ITS, which really kicked out, like was kind of like a, I really had time to work on these projects. And because I was just like, I remember like traveling from my then boyfriend's house from outside London secretly to my studio in London to work on these things. I wasn't really allowed to or supposed to do that, but I was doing it. But I had this all long big days of just working on the stuff that I really love. And I think it was a good time. Like I feel like I never really missed out. Like for me, COVID was really good. It sounds crazy. I'm sorry for people who it was hard.
But still you managed to go through some really big fashion powerhouses, you know, like and gain some experience and even work, you know, through some of those. Do you want like to tell us like a bit of that experience?
Yeah, and, I guess like they started already in the cap year in BA when I was interning. I was intern at Balenciaga with the first Demnas collection. I was working on that. Then I went on to Dior. And then I really saw, I got a chance to see the inside like of the big couture houses, how this works, and like really learned a lot of lot from these experiences. And then I also worked as an accessory design. I was in the accessories team at Burberry after while COVID. It was basically COVID, like kind of on off COVID time as well. After I graduated at masters, from masters, and then I think I was really interested in like knowing how to. I took that time for myself to really learn something that I'm interested in, but I maybe haven't done before as much. And because in my final collection I was already developing some accessories and I was very interested in that. They saw something in my portfolio, so I was given this position, and I was really interested in I really enjoyed that experience. But then after a year I was also given an opportunity to freelance in a performance sportswear brand running. And I was taken on to start basically developing the women's range for their collection. And I felt that was really like a mission for me as a designer to do that or be part of that business at that time. And then I somehow realized that all this is so relevant for my own brand, all these experiences. And then I just like constantly have been like more and more sure that I just, what is what I want to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's how I've been like kind of focusing myself. Like I've been always doing other things on the side, which kind of gives me the energy. And I kind of like, I think it's so important to do other things on the same time,
for sure,
whatever practice you have,
yeah,
to keep yourself kind of more like activated, I would say.
And so what do you think, you know, were those main takeaways for you while you were doing, whether it was an internship or when you started working more formally, you know, what were the main things that you think that you now see in the work that you do in your own label?
I guess like for me, very from the roots, like in the, it kind of rooted into me very strongly, all the kind of like, I've been always making myself and being a very strong maker, but like, working at Balenciaga was a really good experience because of really learning how to develop couture pieces, like from like really layered, like layers from the bottom. There's so many layers to it, like, and it's really handmade and really like sensitive and like, and Anais, who I worked with, who's she still works there, the studio manager, she taught me so much and I really love them still. I'm still friends with them. And then, for instance, like, I guess like, it's just so much. Like, you just learn how to structure, how to be professional. Maybe I wasn't that professional at first because I'm crazy, apparently. But you just kind of learn to take more responsibility with time.
Yeah.
And then at Burberry, I really learned. Like, I felt like what I was taking away was like really understanding how business is like built. Who are the people who are doing what, how to like build a range, what different like kind of like categories, like even like collections consist of, what kind of like, you know, and I feel like if you have already a little sense of like, oh, I want to do something myself, or like, you're not just like someone who, you know, you tell, do this, I don't do that. You just don't do tasks, but you just really want to understand the bigger picture. Then that was really amazing to kind of like, you can really take away so much. And then if I've now worked also like on, in a, like a smaller business, you constantly just see how like all these like little elements come together and how to manage. And then I feel like for me, it's really like exciting to just know how to manage a project.
Yeah.
Like how to be a project manager, because if you want to, you have a business, you need to know all these little elements, and you have to know how to make, you have to know how to draw, you have to know how to speak, you have to know, you have to be super talented.
Absolutely.
So it's not easy. And I guess like, it's just, I don't know how people like finish BA and, or like never, I don't know. It's amazing to do a lot.
Yeah.
The more you do, the better and stronger you become.
No, I couldn't agree more.
And, let's talk about your brand a bit, you know, like your actual brand. So, I mean, how would you describe it? Because I would say, obviously, it's like women's wear is about performance. It's, for me, it's also couture, you know, like what you do. How would you describe your own brand? You know, like if you had to give it with a few words to us.
I think it is... very much about functional women's wear.
Functional women's
wear. Or like a purposeful, elegant wear. Like, I feel like maybe there is like, there's a, it's the idea of like how to make women's wear, like basically question, like I'm constantly thinking like, how can I do women's wear, which is, has a little bit different angle, or like kind of like, how could, you know, a product function differently from for women, which is not like somehow like I'm trying to totally let go of all the kind of ideas what women's wear is and think like what really woman and I right now would want. What are the materials that I really value right now? What are the functions that I need? Because function is not always just like just pockets or just hood or just waterproof, but it can really be like, even if it is like a really, really, really sleek, elegant evening dress, does it have to be the evening dress that we think it is? Can we let go of that, what we think it is, and think what it could be? So it's just like always just like re-questioning. So I guess it's like restructured or re-questioned women's wear, in the, like a modern women's wear.
Absolutely.
So Yeah, I like to say it's functional, and it's always functional, but at the same time, it's a designer brand, and it's like to really nurture people's experience of fashion and like kind of like have emotion and new feelings about design, because it's like just to like end like kind of inject new ideas into the industry, because it's just you have to always think like what is like kind of the reason why we even need more products. Yeah. Like, why do we need it? And if I know why this product should exist, I get really excited. Right. And then I want other people to experience
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah. No, for sure. I think it's so funny. You know, we started this conversation with the whole, I think it's the ultimate question of in the fashion industry, do you need to go to university? Do you need an MA and all these things? And, you know, we'll never know the answer to that question because there's two completely different schools of thought and experiences. But I think as you're talking, I can tell that you come from a very academic background just because, you know, those are the questions that I think as somebody, I did an MA in fashion and that's always, you know, the ultimate thought is, you know, how can we rethink it? Is, you know, the traditional way of doing things the right way of doing things? Or let's go beyond, let's think outside the box. Like what, you know, you have to ask societal questions and all these things. And so I think it's super interesting that you incorporate all of that into your creations. And I'm wondering, when you started to design this new, you know, functional wear, for example, where did that idea originally come from? Was it, you know, you say that it's something that you would want to wear in your everyday life. Do you think that comes from your background in the arts, for example, as an actor or as, you know, for women who dance or for women who are always on the go?
I guess like it's very much inspired by just my own lifestyle from like on one side. It's like because I have chosen like it's me as a like I do cycle everywhere. So I remember just thinking that for me, cycling was like kind of the inspiration that the kind of like I need this woman on the go. Yeah, I need her to go somewhere. I need her to do something. Otherwise, it just doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. And because that's what we all do. We move. We are moving elements, like moving bodies.
Yeah.
And so that's how that's where it comes from, like from kind of like the feeling.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, also like kind of, I think I guess like because my appreciation for couture, it is very important, like kind of like classical or traditional women's wear. I'm really interested in tailoring and like really like the techniques and kind of like constructions of like women's wear, like how it's done. And because I'm really, like you said, you mentioned academical. Yes, in that sense, because I'm so academical, maybe I'm just so like kind of I'm really respecting the traditions of where things come from.
Yeah.
And in order to kind of actually innovate, you need to know where they come from. Mm-hmm. So I've learned that really specifically and deeply. And I really have like the kind of, I get excited about like the volumes and the silhouettes of like 50s or 60s women's wear. Mm-hmm. And then like kind of realizing very much that it's not really what woman is like anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of the kind of redesigning what I appreciate and know, but like really thinking about like who I am now and mm-hmm. where are we now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does it make sense?
It makes full sense. I mean, I kept thinking that it's so interesting to me. I mean, I remember the first time that I saw your collection and it was so new, you know? I mean, I just remember that, which is a very difficult thing to say anymore because more or less you have seen pretty much everything around you in different types of variations, better variations, not so good variations. Mm-hmm. With you, it was like all completely new, you know, like the whole concept was so new and so fresh that there was nothing there that you could, you know, compare it against. Or and I even find way more interesting that basically you did it in a period of time where we all had in our mindsets that it was a still time. Like, so basically no one was moving. But for you, the concert was all on the go, you know, mm-hmm. like it was a woman on the go. It was, you know, cycling around the city. It was moving.
It's the independence.
It was
well.
The independence, yeah. The freedom, you know, like it was, you were bringing all these notions again, you know, but because it was a period of COVID, you know, like everyone had the feeling that we're not moving. You know, like we're sitting still. So
we could have designed. People were talking about. I remember loungewear, and pajamas to wear. And I was like, oh my god, have I missed out something?
No, you didn't. I think you were like right spot on with what you did, and that shows basically with the great progress you're having on your career. Because for example, you have been picked up by Fashionista and Lulu Kennedy, which I think is for everyone that maybe doesn't know, like Fashionista is the platform of Lulu Kennedy, showcases the best of emerging talents who most of the times later on graduate into NewGen, and which is the official support of the British Fashion Council towards emerging designers. What was that experience picked up by Lulu, who is obviously one of the biggest and best leading voices in our industry?
It's very interesting. No, it's been I wasn't really, I think it came when I wasn't really actually expecting I will be. I did apply. I've been applying for many years, but actually, I applied already when I wasn't really supposed to be. I think when you're really in PA and really eager, everyone's applying everywhere. Mm. Even if they're not ready, you just send even one picture of one garment, or you didn't even have a portfolio. You really want to, be picked up, but you will be picked up when you're ready. Mm. So I guess I was just noticed when it was the right time. I guess it's been just super good experience to really learn and train to what it's like to do a show, what it's like to have a team, what is it like to really be under this pressure that you're going to have not just lookbook but also a big show. And we would I think Lulu and Raphael are they're really supportive group of people to have that experience with. So they have been very, very supportive. And I think the platform just allows you to kind of be so many people, more people see you. And it's really, really amazing. Yeah. It's really useful. And it teaches you and also opens up doors that maybe, we're open but weren't totally it really does help and to develop. And I guess on the other hand, it's is it important to have a fashion show for a business, for a young business? And I think that it is important to because of these reasons I just mentioned, just to have the kind of training and the kind of be able to be seen. But then you have to think of for yourself, is that something that you want to is that something brand has to have nowadays, and so on.
I think it was definitely a natural progression for you, because I remember, the first films, that you put out, and presentations that you did, for your
own. I love films. I love moving image.
It was such a natural progression for you, from that part to move into Fashionista, it's a great thing. I also remember that when we first start talking together, do you know one of your biggest supporters out there was Sarah Mower? I mean, I don't need probably to introduce Sarah Mower, but for whoever maybe doesn't know, he's the ambassador for emerging talent in UK. She's the chairman of NewGen, one of the leading voices in journalism, and she absolutely loved your collection and who you are and everything, because we were exchanging messages. And
she has been so incredibly supportive. Yeah. It's been really, really, really amazing.
Yeah, she's an incredible person. So all the all these people paying attention to you, is definitely a testimony about the great job you're doing. But I wanted to ask you, does it add any pressure to you? Oh my God, I need to perform in that. We're talking about performance, but you need mentally to perform, and with your work to perform in such a high level, because that is what is expected by you.
I guess I remember it was when I got the answer that I've been selected as one of the new Fashionista designers. I was whoa, the sky went open and the light came in, and I was this is amazing, amazing. And then I was also, I got the email that, you are also invited, now the semi-finalist of LVMH prize. And then I remember thinking, can't just things come one at a time? Why do they have to come all at the same time? And then I was under pressure because I was like, I just want to do one thing really well. I don't have to do so many things all the time well. But then I, of course, you just end up doing it all.
Yeah,
it's fine. And I think like all this discipline training, I was just talking about like, you know, like taking part of competitions and then doing a theater show and then singing and dancing somewhere. Like it did help. I mean, I'm kind of trained to be under pressure, I think. So in that sense, and also BA and MA at Centre St. Martin's is also just constant pressure. But I think in a way, it's like how much pressure you do put onto yourself and what is it, does it have a positive, like what do you put positive pressure on yourself or negative? And I think like it's a combination of, like you have to kind of find a nice balance. Mm. So in a way, like pressure is very important and I really, I think it's important. So yes, there is pressure. I am under pressure. But I'm not sure if I would perform in the same way if I wouldn't have the pressure.
Right.
So it's kind of a good thing to have.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think like competition is good. You just have to train and then you cope with it. And if you really, really believe in something, it's a good thing.
Yeah. No, and you know, I think it's so evident in with all of the progress that you've made. I mean, you only started your label in 2020. And now, you know, coming into 2024, it is this amazing design studio, doing something, you know, so innovative and so new that really we've never seen before. And so I would love, you know, to hear a little bit more about what you guys have going on right now, and, you know, maybe some future projects and what we should expect from the brand.
This is a big question. yes, I guess for me at the moment, it's very important to just really, really have a good, strong focus on like getting like the, I think like for me, having a new collection coming out in February, this is my main focus right now. Mm. And we want to, there's a lot of things that are in my mind. I guess like keep bettering and developing the product. That we already have and like really nurturing the opportunities that we already have, like keeping the partners and the basically like all the audience like that we have and really like have like really strengthened this, what we have.
Yeah.
So I don't have massive big plans or new things coming up right now, but it's just like really trying to do what we already do even better. If that makes sense.
No, absolutely. And then what about you, you know, as a designer and as a creative, do you have any special projects coming up?
Yes, maybe there is some things, yes, but I'm just keeping busy. Yes,
amazing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you a bit about before we go to a few Q&As, you know, like with people around us, you know, from the wider family of Tomorrow, because they asked us a few questions for you, but I would like to ask you before going there, what is innovation and sustainability mean for you? Because I think we touched upon a bit, but I think for maybe, you know, the people that they might be listening to this, you know, one of the key elements that I remember so distinctively about your collection, apart from, you know, the great ready-to-wear, was your accessories, you know, like, and, you know, you use like this incredible, you know, like vintage findings, you know, like of the bags, you know, in a very, very limited edition, which you managed to infuse them in such a modern way and functional way at the same time, combining all those elements. And that, so I'm very curious to know, you know, what those two words play in your mind, you know, innovation and sustainability, you know, how
I guess like the bags is something like, I guess like there's these two sides together where you can see that, do we have to really produce like a whole bag if we already have beautiful bags, but we just actually can like add elements to it, which modernize it or add like a new function or way of wearing it in the modern world. So I guess for me, sustainability really means like being open-minded about like how much is necessary to produce. So for instance, like if we can, let's do as little as possible, like as possible and needed. Or like, is that make sense? Like, let's do as little as needed and as much as no, yeah, as much as little as possible and as much as needed. Mm. So it's like, let's not overproduce if we can. I think that's like the innovation part, because sometimes the innovation can really come from that point, if that makes sense. Like that you don't always have to, you know, do everything and like totally create something. Innovation can be something like being clever about like seeing opportunities in what already exists.
So we had some people that just, you know, absolutely admire your work, send in some questions. We have Marco Vianello from Milan. He asks, in the realm of emerging design, how do you see technology influencing the future of women's fashion, especially in terms of functionality and innovation?
It's very similar.
Very similar.
Technology. I guess one thing I've been thinking about is that like protection is very important, and there's a lot of, I don't know, is it a lot, but quite many new developments that are in the kind of like more performance world that are could be applied to garments that are like adding more protection to garments, or like that fabrics that integrate some sort of a protection. So I feel like protecting elements for women's wear are a very interesting idea, and these kind of technological developments. But I think like there's a lot of textile developments as well, like in terms of like actually this is a really hard question, like I need to think a bit more about it, for especially women's wear, but I think protection is the one that comes into my mind first.
Giovanni Di Marchi, basically. So, oh, that's a long one. I got the long ones. Sorry. Sorry. So, Johanna, your women's fashion collections are known for the strong influence from performance sports, with cycling being a prominent theme. Can you share with us where this inspiration stems from, and have you personally engaged in any sports or physical activities that have contributed to your unique design perspective? Additionally, we understand that you've collaborated with a performance running brand as a designer. Could you tell us more about this collaboration and how it has shaped your creative approach to fashion?
Yeah, I guess, of course, we already talked about it as well a little bit, that like I am like always been very active and participated in sports. And I do cycle every day and everywhere. So like, I feel like cycling is something that I see as a, like a tool of like being free and liberated and like kind of in charge, and like you can really be, it's environmentally friendly as well. So it's a very important thing in my life. And I guess like working in the performance is like, It's just like learning really like what is like how garment works with body, like ergonomically, and how can you do as little as possible to like really like but still have like the function that you kind of worked harvest for. So it's like function, it's the form follows function, basically, idea.
Okay, and the second question, Johanna, your bags have gained attention for the distinctive blend of classic fashion aesthetics and practicality, especially suited for navigating the hustle and bustle of a metropolis like London. Can you elaborate on your approach to accessory design and how you balance timeless style and functionality for the modern urban woman to the go?
Yeah, I guess like for me, it's just like every project has to work with the body and comes from the kind of it's not like that. It's just a sculpture standing by itself. It's how the moment when it meets body, that's exciting. So that's my approach.
Really nice.
So that's what really bothered me when I worked at Burberry, actually, because or like any big house, because there's so many bags, there's the range is so massive, and then most of the bags just like are standing alone products.
Yes,
but for me it's like, that's why I can't do just bags or just clothes, they kind of have to be together. So it's just the human on the body.
I love this answer. I think like this is incredible answer, honestly. You know, One of the last questions for me would be, what would be the advice you would give to other young creatives or, you know, young designers that they looking up to you? And I know there are quite a few, you know, looking up to you and looking, you know, this incredible so far. And I'm sure, you know, from now on as well, career you have built. What would be the few quick advice that you could give them?
Advice for
creating their own fashion brands, I guess, like you did.
Yeah. Ooh. I guess like just it just is very important to just be very honest and determined. And I'm quite stubborn, but I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. If that makes sense.
Well, it worked for you, you know, like so it could be a good one.
It needs like a lot of sleepless nights, really. Yeah. But you just like you have to just keep working really hard. But not like I'm working really hard. But like hard work doesn't mean good work. But just being like, you know, confident about your ideas and believe in them. Because yeah, I guess like you have to it has to come from you, the belief.
Yeah,
that it's necessary.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. You know, like, thank you very, very much because
thank
it was
you for,
such
so much
a
for
wonderful,
having me.
Wonderful discussion. And it's always such a good thing, you know, to catch up and listen to you. You know, you're so young, but you're so wise and so inspiring in so many ways. So I only wish you the best of luck and enjoy it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hannah.